Just like that, Friday morning, and it's another edition of the Shooting USA podcast from the 2018 SHOT Show in the Sands Convention Center at the Smith & Wesson booth. Tony Pignato is with me running camera. On camera with me is State Senate candidate Byron Brooks. Byron, yeah. welcome to the video podcast, yeah. The audio podcast that people can hear through their stereo as they commute or cut the lawn or whatever they happen to be doing. But it's a pleasure to have you, sir, because it is an interesting time, I know, in your life. Running for the state senate of Nevada. Let's back up and let's talk about how we got to this point.
Sure. I was in the military. I'm a combat veteran. I served with a Department of Defense and the State Department later on afterwards as a contractor in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. I resigned my position somewhere around 2012, came back home. I'm a Nevada native. I grew up in Las Vegas. And it's really a culmination of some of the things that I've been a part of, right, that have led me into where I'm at currently today as a candidate. Some of it has to do with trials and tribulations of opening up a small business. Mm-hmm. Some of it has to do with the gaps that I have seen in the veteran treatment court centers, which I've been a mentor for since my return. So it's about 4.5 to 5 years, I guess, that I've been a mentor inside the treatment court. There's gaps in that system, and I'd like to try to seal those gaps. I've got a young son who is in elementary school, and our ranking for education in Nevada is dead last currently. Mm-hmm. There are certainly some things that I'd like to be able to do on a legislative level to support better education for our kids. I'm part of the school organizational team for my son's elementary school, which means I've got great perspective on how things work locally from our Clark County School District and how monies come into the school and then the fiscal budgeting that goes along with that. So I'm part of the board that helps decide where that money goes and how it's going to be spent to enhance education.
Excellent. A number of different topics that we can touch on, helping veterans as they're transitioning out, things like that. What can really be done at a state level?
You know, there's a lot of things that we can do, and I believe part of it starts with inside the community, mm-hmm. right? So as a mentor for the treatment court, which is one avenue to support veterans who are transitioning, we're just, at this point when they're inside the treatment court, we're almost catching them a little bit too late, but we're offering them an opportunity to get treatment that they need so that they can come back out into the community and just lead the charge in different areas for their benefit. You know, suicide prevention is a big deal when we talk about veterans, and it's because of my experience and work inside the veteran treatment court that I've sought tools to help me be a better mentor. And one of those tools is certification for suicide prevention. So I'm a guy that goes out and teaches what's called safe talk, suicide prevention measures out into the community. Mm-hmm. And to be able to put that in the hands of different members of our community means that we now have tentacles that essentially just grow out. So the more people who have safe talk certification and understand the process of thwarting suicide and getting somebody to a resource, it just makes it better.
Yep. It's remarkable for me having that been something that hit very close to home. One of my best friends, a veteran, took his own life a couple of years ago. So as I am able to spread the word about any initiative to help prevent veteran suicide, to hear from you that there is a drive at a political state level is refreshing to me, and I think that's something that could be spread across all 50 states and on into the federal level.
Yeah, I would absolutely love that. I mean, listen, there's nothing more disheartening, right? than our veterans, men and women who come back from overseas work, who have been in situations where whether or not they come home might be a factor on how they're performing overseas.
Sure.
And get home into what we can call a safe area.
Right.
And now decide for whatever reason that they're going to suicide.
Yeah.
And, man, it's a real sensitive issue. I'm trying to be somebody who is becoming a leader in our community to support the thwarting of that. It's just really important to me that men and women who come back have great opportunity to do great things, whether it's business, education, family life. They really deserve those types of opportunities because those men and women have essentially laid it on the line, right?
100%.
So that's important.
That's a big one for me.
Yeah.
The other one, first responders.
Right.
And in Nevada, Las Vegas specifically, you know, it's been a polarizing thing here lately with certain events and situations happening.
Sure.
You know, it's obviously vital, but I think there are some unique challenges, especially for first responders in this environment, with as many people from all over the world that converge here at all different times.
Absolutely. I can tell you that for about 3.5 years, I was part of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Use of Force Board. So I got to see firsthand some of the officer-involved shootings that we've had in the community. I was a guy that would be called out, regardless of time, right, to walk the scene with detectives and have clear understanding of exactly what happened and why the officer drew his weapon and how a shooting began and ended.
Sure.
And in all of that, I tell you, I think some things just come down to solid training.
Yep.
And solid equipment and gear.
Yep.
Right? Now, military guys know that a big expenditure is going to be on our gear. We want to make sure that if we're overseas doing work, we've got top-notch equipment with us, because that's the last thing we need to fail on an operation.
100%.
Right? It's the same thing here. So I really believe that we've got to outfit our law enforcement officers, our firefighters, our first responders, anybody who's on the line, they've got to have the best of the best. We want to make sure that they've got good equipment to go out and get the job done, and that there's no failures in their gear to thwart anything that they've got going on.
100%.
Yeah.
From the small business standpoint, you're a small business owner.
I am.
And so you have some unique experience there. How can the state level incentivize small business, make it easier for the guy who wants to make his dream come true?
You know, I believe some of that has to do with less government oversight and less state oversight, right? We've got to allow people who get into business to be able to run their business. Mm-hmm. We don't need a lot of government oversight explaining to business owners how a business should be run. If you're in business and you want to be successful, you're going to have to map that out, right?
Yep.
It's part of capitalism. It's part of opening up a business.
Sure.
It's part of ensuring that you're credible and reliable in the community so that community members are going to use your services. That's enough motivation, I think, for small business owners to keep striving to improve the quality of work, to improve whatever it is, their services. Mm. That's where it stops. It's with the small business owners and the services that they provide, and not necessarily government overwatching what they're doing and
sure.
then trying to implement different policies and procedures that may not have anything to do with the business that they're running. It's thwarting capabilities, right?
Right.
So if we want to talk about improving economic growth, listen, we've got to have a conversation about small business, because that is a place where it really begins inside the community.
Sure.
And there's got to be implementations, policies, procedures set up in our state that ensure someone who wants to get involved in business has an easy access to do it.
Mm-hmm. The state can't do it for you.
That's right.
But as much as the state can stay out of your way and let you do it yourself.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the schools, because education is always going to be a hot topic. I've got teenage kids down to 12, so I've got middle
Fantastic.
Schoolers to
yeah.
high schoolers, and we're very blessed in Middle Tennessee to be living in one of the finest public school systems in our state.
Yeah,
but I know that varies from state to state and from county to county.
Right.
How does the state senate benefit the school system? What's the drive there?
Look, I think one of the things that are going on right now is education choice,
mm-hmm.
right? And that really has more to do with education savings accounts, ESAs. That's
right.
a big hot button right now
right.
In our state. And I'm a strong proponent of ESAs.
Yes.
I'm a supporter of that because I think it does a couple things. The education savings accounts provide a avenue of competition that I would like to see between the public schools, charter schools, and private schools. And the reason I say that is when we talk about education choice, we're talking about parents having the capability of removing their child from one elementary school or school system and putting them in another, right? That's the choice.
Right.
And we want to make it easy for them to do that. Well, look, schools are being funded by the Clark County School District, right? There's a certain amount of money that filters down into that school, and it's based on per student that's in the school,
mm-hmm.
which means if you start having students leave the school, some of your funding now has been cut for things that you want to be able to implement to provide for better education.
Right.
So I like the idea of putting money into school so that we can ensure proper education for our kids. And I also like the idea of education savings accounts because I think it spurs competition to ensure that even if you're at a public school level, you're going to want to operate, mm-hmm. right, and exceed the expectations that somebody might have for a charter school or a private school. And because I've got a 7-year-old who's in first grade,
right.
and I know I'm going to be married to the public education system for quite some time, I'm in favor of that. I'm
yeah,
all
sure.
for it.
100%.
I think that's a big deal. We just have to be able to work together and find the funding, right, at a legislative level to ensure that ESAs are part of what we have going on inside our community, inside the state.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
The first call to action that I can give to anyone who's listening or watching this is vote. Get out and vote.
Right.
What's the next piece that someone can do? If they're interested in your campaign, they want to support, they want to help, how do they do it? Tell
so
the people.
I would say ByronBrooks.com mm-hmm. is a great place to go because there at least you can take a look at some of our social media links, mm-hmm. Both our Twitter account and our Facebook account, and obviously donate to the campaign.
Sure.
Right? Because funding, on you know,
it takes money.
It takes money to put messaging out correctly,
right.
and it's something that we're constantly doing. So it's a matter of getting to the voters who are in our district mm-hmm. And providing them with the messaging for why they should vote for me to begin with.
And 100%.
Yeah.
Excellent, sir. I think we've hit all points.
I think so.
Thank you for your service and thank you for your time.
I appreciate your time, John. Thanks a lot.
All
it's
right.
a pleasure being here.
More from The SHOT Show Friday. It's the last day coming up.